Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hello and welcome to the Chronicles of Nannia, a nanny resource podcast made for nannies by me, a nanny. I am your host, Martha Reddick, and this week we are going to be talking about nannying for families with pets. And to do that, I have brought on a new friend named Simone Watkins. Hello, Simone.
Hello.
Welcome.
Thank you.
It's so nice to have you.
It's nice to be here.
Simone actually took over for Taryn, who has been on the podcast before. She did nannying for girls and potty training and one more that I am blanking on right now. But go look up Taryn's episodes. They're great. But Simone has actually taken over for Taryn's nanny family. And how's that going?
It's going really well. Actually, I was definitely nervous going into it because Taryn was there for 4 years, but the transition was super smooth and everything's going great.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so I'm loving it so far.
Wonderful. Mm-hmm. Well, before we get started talking about nannying for families with pets, let's hear a little bit about your background.
All right. Well, I was born and raised here in Chicago. I actually just moved back here after attending undergrad at Mizzou, nice. Or University of Missouri. So I'm back here for good, hopefully. And I started nannying while in college. And it started with I needed some extra cash for, you know, I was in school.
Right.
Yeah. So I just, key. Yes, exactly. And in my program, which is Human Development and Family Studies, mm-hmm. We received like a billion emails for nannying, babysitting jobs. So
I bet
I hopped on one of those emails and I eventually started nannying for a family with two kiddos, and then that led to another family. And then I did that throughout my entire college career. And here I am now back in Chicago.
That's great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. I always think it's so interesting, people's origin stories.
Right.
As nannying is a superpower.
I agree.
And yeah. So, yeah, I always find that interesting. Well, great. Let's talk about nannying for families with animals, which I've only ever nannied for, I think, one family with a pet. So I'm glad to have someone here that has also some more experience, because my nanny family had a dog walker. So I really didn't, you know, besides Lovey's, right. I didn't have to take care of the dog at all.
Right. And yeah, this is the first time in my nanny experience where I've had somewhat of a role. In the dog's life, the family that I nanny for, they have a cat and a dog, but the cat is super antisocial.
Didn't know that they had a cat, and I went over there for, I would say, a good 10 play dates before I was like, whoa, you have a cat.
It's this cat.
Actually, the first time I saw the cat was when I did a nighttime babysit for that family.
Yeah, and I, same. And then next thing I know, the cat's coming out. And I'm like, oh, hello, Maddie. Welcome.
Yeah.
So, and the dog, Brody, he's older, which you never would have guessed ever looking at the dog.
He looks like a puppy.
Right. And he's honestly super, super chill. So it's not ever, it's never really an issue, you know, but like, and to the extent, like the most extensive thing I would do is like let him outside, you know, play with him, give him love. He's definitely needs attention all the time.
Yes.
So that's pretty much my role.
Right.
Make sure he's has food and whatnot. But other than that, he really is in his own little world and like does his own thing.
Yeah. Yeah. And he gets along really well with kids, which is very nice.
Oh, my gosh. Yes.
But yeah. And so when you interviewed and got the job, did you all discuss previous to you starting what your role would be with animals?
Yeah, so actually in the first interview, we did not discuss about the dog. I didn't know that they had a dog or a cat. It was the second, well, technically third interview mm-hmm. that I actually came to the house to like play with one of the kiddos, and I saw the dog and I was like, oh my gosh, which I got excited about because I love dogs.
Yes.
So, and then the nanny family just said, you know, this is Brody. You know, you don't, it's not too much that you have to do, but just, you know, make sure that he's good.
Right.
So that was pretty much that.
Mm-hmm. Do you have to take him on walks ever, or is it just letting him out?
No, it's usually just letting him out. You know, I think I, once it starts cooling down, want to take him on walks because I think that he would like it. And I think that, you know, the girls would like that too. Just, you know, walking the dog and whatnot. Because usually they take him out for a short minimal walk in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's pretty much that.
And then, yeah, he's got to make it till the end of the day. I mean, he can like go out into the yard, but.
Right. Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful. Yeah. And him being an older dog, I think, is helpful in that way mm-hmm. because he's used to
Having
to hold it.
Yeah. Yes. Exactly.
Yeah. One thing that, so I kind of reached out to some of the Facebook nanny groups and got some advice from just more people because I thought that that would be useful since I didn't know as much about this. And Maggie Jean had an idea that she uses with her nanny kids and her personal dog. It's not the nanny family's dog, but for walking the dog, because I have let my nanny kids also like help me with my personal dog before. And it's really interesting because they obviously want to like walk the dog. They want to hold the leash. But if a dog sees a squirrel or a bunny or whatever and bolts, they're probably going to drop the leash. So mm-hmm. it's this catch 22 of like, you want to give them autonomy. You want to give, let them play a role in walking the dog. But you also need to hold on to part of the leash.
Right.
So Maggie Jean says that what she does is she has a longer retractable leash that she holds, and then she has a second non-retractable leash that is for the kids that's shorter. And so then the kids can hold it, and they feel the tension of the dog, and they are actually walking the dog, but there's like a safety line that she's holding on to.
That is a great idea.
Yeah.
I never really would have thought of that.
I know. I wouldn't have either.
No, that's awesome.
And so I really appreciate you sharing that, Maggie. And and so I think that that's a really good way, if that is part of your job as a nanny, to walk the dog, because that can be tricky.
Definitely.
With kids.
Mm-hmm.
Especially if there's more than one kid and a dog. Whew, that's a lot. And I will say, at least in Chicago, this seems to be true, that most families with dogs have dog walkers.
Yes.
if their dog needs to be walked mm-hmm. while the nanny is there, mm-hmm. they don't ask the nanny to do that. They hire a dog walker. Right, because,
yeah, and that was one of the things that my nanny family mentioned was just, like, try to have – my focus should be on the kiddos, not right. the dog, but however, you know. Make yes. sure the dog is good. You know what I mean?
Right.
So, mm-hmm.
acknowledge that the dog is there.
Exactly. Exactly.
Make sure if he goes to the door, like, let him yes. out, things like that. But yes, that mm-hmm. you shouldn't sacrifice any attention or
yes, exactly.
safety of the children
definitely
for the dog. And that is good. And that's something to talk about when you are interviewing, if the family mm-hmm. does have a dog or if they get a dog.
Right.
Because I've seen that on the nanny groups before. Mm-hmm. And if there's going to be a dog, especially if it's going to be a puppy, that's like time for a contract renegotiation.
Definitely. Especially a puppy. That
if
is,
they're going to get a puppy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's another job.
Yeah. A puppy, that's another
yeah,
job.
Especially. Yeah.
That's like
wow.
another child almost.
Almost.
Worth of job.
Yes.
Yeah. So yes, if an animal is going to show up on the scene, then mm-hmm. then you need to probably ask to sit down with the family and yes. say, hey, I would like to renegotiate my contract because this is a new element that we didn't talk about.
And it's a big element, really. It if is. if you think about it, it's pets are, you know, part of the family, so
they are.
You want to make sure they're cared for as well, but it's just added on, you know.
Right.
So I agree with that.
Yeah. Another thing that I thought of while I was researching and imagining this episode, like I do in my daydreams, is like, so if you are taking care of kids and a dog, and even right. if it's a situation where the dog is obviously secondary to the children,
right.
But let's say the dog eats chocolate and the kids also have to be somewhere right then, like school,
right.
You know, what do? And a lot of people on Facebook groups said that they would absolutely call the nanny family and ask.
Definitely.
And then if it was an emergency for the dog, get the dog to care with the children, obviously. Take yes. the children with you. But get the dog to the vet and then take the children where yes. they need to go.
Yeah, that's what I would definitely think to do. Yeah. I mean, first, obviously call, but you know, you don't want something bad to happen to the dog and then right. that just add more stress than, you know what I mean? So,
right. And dogs are great.
Exactly. Exactly.
They I love them so much.
Me too. I have two of my own. So
oh, mm-hmm. that's great. But if the dog, if it's not a quote unquote emergency with the dog, if the dog like,
right.
you know, threw up or something and then right. just clean that up and then maybe, you know, you definitely mm-hmm. need to tell the nanny family.
Exactly.
That the dog threw up. But yeah. dogs threw up for lots of reasons, like eating grass.
It's interesting.
It is.
Yeah.
And vets actually don't super know why they eat grass. They suspect it's to, like,
I don't get it.
Make themselves throw up if they ate something mm-hmm. that's not sitting well. But right. they don't know for sure.
Right.
Which is interesting.
Yeah. Actually, the other day when I was a little bit late to go, you know, to my nanny family
uh-huh.
because my dog was just started throwing up everywhere.
Oh, like, oh, so fun.
I know, right? Love that.
Yep. But yeah, and then one other aspect of animal care, and this is something that I end up talking about with all of my nanny kids, whether or not they own a dog or an animal in general, mm-hmm. is aggression by animals towards kids. Mm-hmm. Because a lot of times kids think that they can treat animals like they treat their stuffed animals.
Yes.
And that's not the case. And there's no way for them to know that except for you to teach them.
Exactly. And sometimes I think it helps when there is a dog present in the house.
Yes.
Because there are times where the kiddos do get aggressive with Brody. And I'm like, Well, no.
You can't do that.
You can't do that with Brody or with any other dog ever.
Right.
Because any little thing can trigger the dog and send it on a wild escapade.
Yeah, you know? Exactly.
Because and that's scary.
At the end of the day, they are animals.
Exactly.
And if they feel threatened, then they're going to react in a way that meets that threat.
Exactly.
Yes. And so talking to kids about, you know, petting from the head backwards towards the tail.
Right.
Not the other way. Mm-hmm. Not pulling on ears or tails or picking up their paws. Also, something that I really do talk to every nanny kid I ever have about is that you have to ask the owner.
Definitely.
If you see a dog that you do not know.
That is huge.
You have to ask the owner. And I even say sometimes ask the owner every time, even if it is a dog you know.
Definitely. Because you never know what kind of day they're having, you know.
Exactly.
And I agree.
We had a really good example of that the other day with one of my nanny families where there was a puppy and I really wanted to pet that puppy.
Yeah. Of course.
It was like a golden retriever puppy.
Oh,
it was so stinking cute. It looked like a toilet paper ad puppy, you know what I mean? And the kids wanted to pet the puppy too, but I was like, we have to ask. And so we went to the owner and asked, and the owner was like, I'm really trying to get her to go potty. So I need her to be able to focus right now. So we can't.
Right.
And I was like, and that's okay, you know?
Right.
And the kids were disappointed. I was disappointed, but I did not show it.
Right. No, of course. Yeah. Something like that happened the other day. We were on a bike ride and there's a cute dog. And, you know, all the cute dogs, of course you want to pet them.
Right.
And one of the girls asked, which I was very happy and impressed by.
Yes.
If she could pet the dog. And he said, you know, she's a nice dog, but sometimes she can be aggressive. So I'm going to have to say no, you know,
right.
That happens. And I like, you know, and it's also nice when the pet owners are honest like that, because you don't want to see something happen, you know?
No, for sure not. And so, and that's another really good lesson is that there are some dogs that just, they don't like anyone except for their own family.
Exactly.
And that's okay. But we don't pet those dogs.
Exactly.
And that's okay. And so, yes, I think having that conversation with every kid is super important.
I agree.
Because, yeah, I mean, it would make sense to a kid that you can treat a living creature like a stuffed animal, because you show your stuffed animal love by squeezing it like Elmira. and just being like, you can't Elmira every animal.
Every animal, right. Seriously.
Yeah. And so, and it's also a really good conversation to have with cats. If you go over for a play date and there's a cat, is you cannot pull that cat's tail.
No.
Because that cat will bite or scratch you.
Yes. Yes.
Because cats do not hold back.
No, they're little, they're just sneaky and in their own zones. And they if you mess up their space, it's no.
Yep.
There's no holding back, like you said.
They technically can't be domesticated.
Wow.
Yeah. I heard that on a Stuff You Should Know podcast. Huh. There's one about cats, and they talk about how they literally, like, according to the definition of domesticated, cats are not domesticated and cannot be domesticated.
Wow.
Yep.
I did not know that, but that explains so much.
Because whereas dogs, we have, like, a symbiotic relationship, cats and humans have a parasite. Like cats use us.
You know, that really is something good to know.
Yeah, it is.
It's like helps like us understand why cats are that way.
Right. Huh. And there are certainly, I've seen cats that definitely love their owners.
Oh, of course. Of course.
Yes.
But, you know, still. Yeah.
But still, they just are, they're wired differently than dogs.
Exactly.
Also, if you're interested in this, the Stuff You Should Know episode on toxoplasmosis is also really great, which is a disease that makes you love cats. Super, super fascinating. Not to promote another podcast on my podcast, but I do love that podcast. And I use it with kids all the time because they never curse. And it's very educational.
Oh, my goodness.
And so look up the toxoplasmosis episode. It's fascinating.
That is awesome. Yep. I need to look that up now.
Yep. It's the cat lady disease.
So that's a real thing.
It's a real thing. But
good,
anyway,
good things to know.
And then there's also the category of exotic animals, which is a lot more rare. Most people with small children don't have exotic animals. But if they do, you know, I would suggest really researching that animal.
Definitely.
Because, like, I'm going to be taking care of a chinchilla in the spring when some friends of mine go on vacation. And chinchillas can't get wet. And so just things like that that you don't think about.
You know, chinchillas, I would think they could get wet, you know?
Exactly. But they really can't.
Yeah.
And so knowing things like that, or if there's a bird, how do you treat a bird? And I would say maybe just don't have the kids pet that bird.
Yeah, because I feel like you really never know.
Yeah.
Another trend that I've seen getting started are bunnies. A lot of people are getting bunnies.
Yeah.
And honestly, I don't know. I wouldn't know how to treat a bunny because I would think it would be to treat it like a dog. But clearly that's probably not right. So, again, I think being knowledgeable about whatever animal is present is key.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And that's something that you can do with your nanny kids.
Definitely.
Especially for something like a bunny or, I mean, even a chinchilla.
Anything, really.
Go to the library. Mm-hmm. Pick out books about that animal. Learn as much as you can.
Yeah, you could really make it fun, too. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yes, so. I really do. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's great. And then also, if a kid is lobbying to have a pet, you know, play this one.
I'm ready for it.
Yeah, play this one safe because you don't want the parents to hate you.
Right.
But letting a kid research a pet that they want so that they can like present a case to their parents.
Right.
I think depending on the pet, is kind of a cool idea.
Yes, it gives them autonomy, you know, like that purpose and like that they did this thing. You know what I mean? It just makes them feel good. So that's a great idea.
And talking to them about level of responsibility to start out with.
Mm-hmm.
A nanny family that I have nannied for got gerbils. And, that's it's still a big responsibility, but it's not a dog level responsibility.
It's not as big. It's, getting there.
Yes.
Yeah.
Or fish.
Mm-hmm.
And depending on the type of fish, I had some family friends that had a saltwater tank. So that's a whole different thing, you know?
Wow,
and
I've never heard of that.
Yeah, and you had to they had an eel. You had to do it with feed the eel with the like a pincer thing. That then a long stick, the dinosaur heads that you pull the little trigger.
Yes.
But it was like that, but not a dinosaur head at the end.
That would have been cool.
I know. If a dinosaur was feeding an eel.
Like, how cool would that be?
Oh, if I ever take care of those fish again, which I won't because I live in Chicago and they live in Knoxville, but.
You never know.
You never know. Or if I ever have to feed a fish with a little tool like that, I'm getting a dinosaur.
Definitely.
Head.
Oh, for sure. You have to know.
What if they didn't eat it though, because they were scared of that dinosaur? Or the shark head? A shark feeding an eel?
Yeah. Might be worse because they live in the same.
That's true. That's a real threat to them. Dinosaurs are no longer a real threat. Anyway, neither here nor there. The overall message, really, and something that I say on the podcast all the time, is communication is key. If there's an animal involved, have clearly defined expectations for your role in that animal's life.
Yes.
if, you know, and establish those before you agree to nanny.
Exactly.
Or if the animal comes on after you are already the nanny, then ask to renegotiate your contract, because mm-hmm. any animal is an added responsibility for you while and you're in the house.
100%. 100%.
Just know your responsibilities, because there's everything from you as the nanny are taking the dog to vet appointments.
Right.
Like some now nannies wrote back and said that they were in charge of vet appointments.
Wow.
And I cannot imagine.
I could not imagine doing like full-time nannying and like full-time dog nannying.
Right.
In a
I
sense.
Know.
That's wow. Kudos. Kudos yes. to them.
Yes. Also, talk to your nanny family about when the dog walker is coming. Because yes. I have been doing some silly things when a dog walker showed up before, you know, like dance parties. And
yeah, of course.
Like silly things with the kids.
Right.
But just be like, hey.
By the way.
When is.
Yeah.
When about does the dog walker show up?
Right. And you just kind of want to know if a dog walker's about to, you know, walk in the house. Like,
exactly.
Oh, who is this person? You know?
Because they have keys and that can
right.
be scary.
Definitely. Definitely.
So, yes. Talk to your nanny family. Communication is key.
Always.
Ask lots of questions. Research animals.
Be knowledgeable about them. That's for sure.
Mm-hmm. Even, you know, mm-hmm. if it's a dog breed that you're not very familiar
right.
with. You're familiar with dogs, but there's a certain, you know, a beagle is very different than a chihuahua.
Exactly.
And so knowing more about a dog breed is going to help you. And it can be fun to research that stuff.
Definitely.
With your kids.
Definitely.
So, yeah. And then also ask, you know, the nanny family for personality hints about the dog if you're
right.
struggling
mm-hmm.
at all. If the dog's not listening or whatever, mm-hmm. It's good to
know those things.
To know those things. So yeah, I think that's it on this subject.
I think so. I think we covered a nice chunk.
Yeah, mm-hmm. But if you, as the listener, are sitting there yelling at your car radio because you're listening to this and you're like, "But they didn't cover blank," then please email in, ask a question. I love doing research, and I would love to answer any question you may be having. And that email address is chroniclesofnannia@gmail.com, and Nannia is N-A-N-N-Y-A. Also, if you are enjoying this podcast, if you're listening to it and you like it and you think of one friend that you think, hey, I think this friend would really like this podcast, can you make it your mission this week to tell that friend? Because word of mouth is way better than any advertising, which I don't have a budget for advertising, but any, you know, Facebook post or anything like that. If you can actually tell one friend, hey, I think you would like this podcast, listen to it. Towards the beginning of the podcast, I did something called highlights, which are about 5-minute sections that were the, you know, the best 5 minutes or like kind of the thesis statement of any given episode. And so if they're wary of spending 30 minutes listening to an episode, recommend they listen to one of those 5-minute episodes and get a feel for it and see if it's something they're into. But word of mouth is one of the best ways to spread the news of this podcast. So if you're enjoying it, please let a friend know. That would really help me out. And then we end each episode with a funny story or a uplifting story. And Mary Calderon, I hope I said that right, Mary, sent one in. And so she said, and this is on topic and I love it, that one of her nanny kids would only poop if he was on the ground on all four limbs. She said, imagine him on the floor like he's ready to do a push-up. And from the time he was a baby until the time he was potty trained at 2.5 years, he would poop that way because he thought it was appropriate since the dog would poo on all four legs. And so he just thought that that's how that everyone did it. No matter where we were, he would stop what he was doing, hit the floor so he could do his business.
That is incredible. Oh my gosh.
And it makes total sense.
It does. Like, I mean, mimicking is huge, you know?
Yeah, it sure is.
That is so incredible.
I love that.
Me too.
Because, yeah, I've definitely had kids that will, like, they got to go to a corner or, like, away. They don't want to be watched.
Right.
But that's
the best.
Never seen that.
That's the best thing I've ever heard.
So cute.
It really is.
Oh my goodness. Well, thank you so much, Simone.
Thank you. Thank you. I really enjoyed this.
Yeah, it was great to have you. And thank you all for listening. We'll see you next week.
Chronicles of Nania is produced and hosted by Martha Reddick. Artwork by Noni Amadon. Theme music by Brad Kemp. Find him at secondbedroomstudio.com. Follow us on Facebook and Instagram at Chronicles of Nania and on Twitter at Nania Podcast. To contact us, email chroniclesofnania@gmail.com. Thanks for listening.
This show has been brought to you by Machine Culture.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.